reading is from Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through to 42. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honoured by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah.
Well, thanks, Karen. I have a confession. Karen advised me that she couldn't get anyone for the piano on Friday, and I let Michael know about 5 o'clock last night. And so if it feels a bit disorganised, it's on me. John and Michael rallied really quickly and got all this together. So I just want to acknowledge that and thank you for doing that. There's reasons I didn't tell you, but anyway, thank you for doing that. Well, this morning we're going to continue in the book of Acts. Now we're going to start with a game, and I found a Toblerone over here. I don't know how it got here. And so we've got a prize now. I'm sure we'll replace it for you, Robert. What's the use-by date? You'll find out when you don't win it, I guess. The 29th of September this year. Okay. It's okay. All right. So we're just going to start with Guess the Song. All right. I want you to just call out when you know. Actually, put your hand up. It could get chaotic. I'm going to leave a couple of lines out just in case they gives it away because it's got the name of the song in it. Everyone you meet, the children in the street. Adele. No. It's not all night long. There you go. Sorry, you're actually barred from answering again. I didn't tell you the rules. I'm making them up as we go. A swaying to the rhythm that there's something moving in them. There's no place to hide. It's very deep lyrics. So why even try? Can't you hear it coming your way? It's here to stay. Music in our walk. Rhythm of the night. No. You're out. Walk of shame. Music in our walk, music when we talk. It's really something magic. to lose it would be tragic. Can't you feel the sound moving through the ground? Music makes the world go round. Take the cold from snow, tell the trees don't grow, tell the wind don't blow, it would be easier. Oh, come on. This is actually a good thing when you find out what it is. Take the spark from love, make the rain fall up, because that's easier to do. Okay. I was thinking about it, and it's not Taylor, but it's good to hear we've got lots of Swifties in the audience. We can exchange friendship bracelets later. No one wins. Oh, you keep your toe. Oh, Adele, you can have another turn. Oh, anyway. That's fine. No one wins. You can't stop the music. Nobody can stop the music. Yeah. I understand the village people aren't exactly a group that you would endorse from this perspective. Yeah, I'm not singing YMCA, Michael. We've been through this 3 times already. And I've asked you not to sing it from the front. You got in trouble for the last thing. You'll get in trouble for that. Now, I understand the village people aren't exactly a group you'd endorse from a pulpit, but You Can't Stop the Music was released in 1980, and it represents a pretty important transition from the music culture from the 70s to the 80s. Not that anyone cares about that. And if you hadn't figured it out, the main idea of the song is that music is unstoppable. And they have a point, don't they? Music has been a part of cultures ever since the creation of the world. From the earliest of ages, it has spoken to the youngest of babies. That's why we sing them to sleep. And that's why 320,000 people will attend 4 Taylor Swift concerts over this weekend. And even more are sitting outside the stadiums. And after only 60 concerts around the world, she has grossed $1 billion in ticket sales. Music is unstoppable. We are built for music. But you see, there's something else unstoppable. And this passage that we're looking up this morning is that the Word of God is unstoppable. It isn't just music that we were created for. We were created for God to speak to us. It is unstoppable. You cannot stop the Word of God. So I want you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 42. I do have some things behind me, but it's always good to open your Bibles. And a bit of context, the opposition, if you remember, has spread against the gospel, the Word of God. Over the previous few chapters, it was the temple authorities had imprisoned Peter and John to try to put a stop to their preaching, but that didn't work. And then last week we saw from within the believers, there came this stench of hypocrisy from Ananias and Sapphira. So there's this opposition that's been growing to try to stop the gospel being preached. Well, this week, the religious authorities of the temple are ramping everything up to a new level. And the first strategy they have is the one they used before. They arrest those preaching and teaching. Have a look at verses 17 and 18. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. So you notice it's not just Peter and John now, but all the apostles have been arrested. And the order has come from the highest of highs, the high priest and all of his associates. The temple authorities were mainly Sadducees, and Sadducees were very disliked among the people. They were known for their jealousy of anyone who had a better reputation than them. It's actually what drove Jesus to being put on a cross. This jealousy is driving what happens in these texts. And not only were the apostles gaining a good reputation among the people, They were preaching about Jesus' resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did, but the Sadducees didn't. So there's a double reason why they are persecuting them. But it goes to another level. They don't just want to put them in jail anymore. They're considering killing them. Now, it's a strategy we see all over the world. A leader comes to power, begins enforcing people to revere him, build monuments to him, worship him. Any negativity against his rule is met with a severe punishment. Mao Zedong, or Chairman Mao, used the strategy when setting up China's Communist Party. If you spoke against the party, you went missing. People lived in fear, and it's a strategy still being used in China today. After the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, Vladimir Lenin's death happened, and Joseph Stalin consolidated his power by eliminating any opposition. I should have made a game, which one's which. A strategy Putin continues to be executing in Russia today. Only this past week, we saw his main opponent suddenly die in jail. See, genocide has been committed by Pol Pot in Cambodia, by Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Many African nations are suffering as we speak under the power plays based on violence and fear. But it doesn't necessarily mean killing people, but killing their opposition. Not sure if you've watched the three-part series Nemesis recently that just got released on the ABC about the Abbott, Turnbull and Morrison years. It's quite insightful. The faceless men, the factions, the smear campaigns, the lies, the innuendo, reputations attacked. Then occasionally, even in Australia, someone is killed, like the political assassination of the MP John Newman in 1994, if any of you remember that. See, our desire for power creates jealousy. When we listen to jealousy, we will act to eliminate the opposition. I think these last few days, there's a police officer that has killed a couple of fellas because of the love triangle that's going on. See, love is scorned, workplace politics. And believe it or not, it's even in our churches. But the gospel, the word of God, Jesus, is unstoppable. Because we aren't just talking about earthly power. We are talking about a spiritual power. An all-encompassing power. The power of the Lord. The power of the gospel. And notice the power struggle going on in this text. See, there's a great power struggle. The apostles have been arrested and thrown in jail. When the high priest and all his associates arrived, they send for the apostles, but the officers report back in verse 23. They say, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." That's because verse 19 has told us this. "But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out." See, obviously, without the guards knowing it, an angel appears, the power of the Lord is able to take these men without even the guards realizing, and then the angel tells them this in verse 20. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." See, this leaves the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest wondering and worrying in verse 24 what this might mean for them. They've let the prisoners out. They might end up being killed. They're going to be nowhere to be seen. Until verse 25, then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." They didn't flee for their lives. They didn't resist arrest. All they wanted to do was preach the gospel. And so they're arrested again and they come willingly and without force. See, the power struggle is between earthly authority and the authority of the word of God. So the message is trying to be crushed. But it's God's message, and God is all powerful. The risen Lord Jesus is all powerful. And so he's able to overcome any opposition whatsoever. The power of the gospel, as directed by the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be preached to the nations, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it is unstoppable. You see, Jesus is able to release the apostles from jail. The message itself causes the captain of the guard not to use force, because through the message, the people highly regarded the apostles. And even in verse 27, when the apostles are brought before the Sanhedrin, which is the Politburo, the cabinet, the Congress of the Israelite community, we see the power of the word in action. The Sanhedrin recognize they are losing this power struggle. Then in verse 28, the high priest says this to the apostles: "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." So the word of God has filled Jerusalem. Don't miss that point. They themselves, you have filled Jerusalem with this teaching. Back to Acts 1:8, the commissioning by Jesus. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is the Lord's will being unfolded. And how do the apostles respond to this threatening situation? Well, they declare that the authority of the word is more powerful and more important than the authority of men to try and stop the gospel. So just to make sure the Sanhedrin are clear on their message, the apostles then preach the gospel to them. Have a look at verses 29 and 32. I know it's a little smaller there. "Peter and the other apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince or leader and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.'" So even in the presence of the great threat of their lives, the apostles cannot stop from preaching the gospel. This is what leads Paul to declare, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." This is the all-encompassing reality of being in Christ. Now, a number of years ago, hopefully you remember, John Short was a missionary, or he is a missionary really, and he was arrested in North Korea while working as a Christian missionary. He traveled to North Korea on a two-man tour with another missionary from China, and when his bags were searched in his hotel, tracts explaining the gospel were found. He was found guilty, but eventually released because he was 75 years old. I think this was in 2014 from memory. In his short confession, he didn't deny what he was doing. This is part of what he wrote: "I wanted more Korean people to be Christians. Therefore, I secretly spread Bible tracts written by me. I heard from the TV and newspaper reports that the DPRK is the most closed socialist country in the world. I heard from the reports that religious freedom is not in North Korea and that foreigners are not welcome to visit or attend for the church. In the process of hearing the reports, I questioned if it was true. On February the 16th, I visited the Popan Temple and committed a criminal act by secretly spreading my Bible tracts around the temple." Doesn't deny anything. He just goes, "Well, that's what I did. There's the truth." See, John Short is saying, yes, this is what we are doing. And the reason is because we want more people to know Christ. And we want that because they will be freed from your tyranny, from your oppressive rule, and find forgiveness and freedom from their sin. They can have hope in the resurrection Because the Messiah, Jesus, was resurrected. So that's why we evangelize. That's why John Short went to North Korea. And that's why the apostles continued to preach the word of God regardless of the threat and the consequence of their life. We must obey God and sit under his authority rather than the authority of the world. So in verse 33, we're told the jealousy of the Sanhedrin authorities hits a peak. And it says, when they heard this, they were furious. Furious. Now that is anger. And wanted to put them to death. They could have picked up stones and killed them on the spot. That's the intensity of what's going on here. See, arresting them couldn't stop the word of God from spreading, so perhaps killing them will. But of course, the authority of Jesus has already been figuring that one out. And Gamaliel, in verse 34, stands up. I love this story. He's a Pharisee. So he's more liked by the people. They lived amongst the people. He believes in the resurrection. He's highly honored by the people, and he's a teacher of the law. He's an unlikely ally. But through him, Jesus saves the apostles' lives by his reasoning. Just when all looks lost, who knows who's going to turn up? Who knows who Christ is going to bring in? But he plays on the disbelief in the resurrection of the Sadducees. He orders the apostles to be taken outside. And then he says this in verses 35 to 37. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. See, his reasoning is that if their message is untrue, because it is about the resurrection of a man, well, then time is the better weapon than violence. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, so he's kind of going, well, if you don't believe in the resurrection, what are you worried about? If the apostles are honored and highly regarded by the people, killing them will just create more problems. They'll hate you more, and there's a chance of an uprising, but history has shown that truth claims are made all the time, and the reality is after the zeal's over, after the leader's killed, it all has a bit of a fluff and then it disappears. It's like Chappelle Corby. It's the news of the day. Everyone had an opinion and wanted to know about it at the time, but who's mentioned Chappelle Corby lately? Except for me. Like a small whirlwind, it spins and spins, but eventually it peters out. Just let it be, he's saying. Time will tell the truth. But then he finishes in verses 38 and 39 by declaring this. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. See, that's very telling in the whole book of Acts. What is the fruit going on here? And here we are, over 2,000 years later. Maybe not 2,000 years later. And it's still going. See, Gamaliel's put out there that he knows that God's power is all-powerful, so you'll never be able to stop it. You see, the word of God is unstoppable. The word of man is stoppable. And there will be a day when all things are revealed, and there will be only one truth claim that will prevail. And here we have it, being declared by the apostles, both to the people and the Sanhedrin, and now to us. See, I'm not sure about Gamaliel. Perhaps he was curious about the message to see what would come of it. Maybe he was a closet kind of interested person in the gospel, wondering what it was all about. Or perhaps he was just a peacemaker and he just didn't want any more violence. But what we do know about him is he is the one who trained the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul mentions it in chapter 22. The Apostle Paul studied under Gamaliel. He was Saul at the time. So all that Paul is and all that Paul understood about the law and everything else, and now he overlays it and understands it in the realm of the gospel, has all been set as a foundation by this very man who has stood up and had the apostles released. Whether he's a Christian, it's quite possibly he never became a Christian. But then you think about how God's power uses even the people who aren't in him in order to ensure that his purposes work out. It happens right through the Bible, and it happens today. You just never know. See, Jesus and the spread of the word is unstoppable. Well, finally, we see that even time could not stop the word of God spreading. And as Acts unfolds, as history unfolds, as men and women wait on the borders of North Korea with a message, as some dare to go in, there are people lined up on the border of North Korea right now just praying. They are praying and praying. That's all they're doing, praying. As some dare to go in, as pulpits are declaring Jesus as the Messiah like we are today, as the sheep of Jesus hear his voice and speak his voice, the word is unstoppable. See, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I tell you, the end of the book of Acts is where all this unfolds. And the very last verse of the book of Acts, where Paul is under house arrest in Rome, we're told he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Unstoppable. Unstoppable to the ends of the earth. And this is why Luke finishes with verses 40 and 41 or 40. I think I've got it wrong there. Anyway, just listen along. 41 and 42. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Who's ever done that here? Woohoo, I've been persecuted. That's amazing. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. The word of God is unstoppable. Do you have that confidence? When you hear that school scripture is going to be taken out of the schools, are you able to live in that space with great assurance, knowing, well, whatever unfolds, we know that God will use it in order to proclaim his gospel even further? See, when you hear the religious freedoms are being taken away, that truth itself is now just a relative thing, and it's okay for you to believe that, as it's okay for me. And we think, oh, so how do we claim an absolute truth when there is no absolute truth anymore? See, when people reject you because of our message or reject the message, do you end up wondering whether the battle has been lost? Are you currently trying to proclaim the gospel to friends or family and you're just met with a brick wall and you're starting to think, oh, is this all real? Well, I want you to take heart, because the gospel, the good news, is unstoppable. And whether or not I do it or you do it, God is doing it through the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, will fulfill his purposes given to the apostles to the ends of the earth. I want to encourage you not to give up in that battle. It hasn't been lost. It was already won by God when he raised this Jesus to life. You see, the very thing they are preaching here is the very thing that gives us great confidence that the victory has been won. The resurrection. The victory is the Lord's. Don't give up. And be encouraged that His will and His purpose will prevail. Well, I tell you, I'll talk about prison ministry every week if I need to. But this week on Thursday, we had more men in tears in prison when they heard the gospel. We had one man just giving his life over to the Lord. We've got another one who's doing the course for the third time. And now he's the one who is encouraging everyone else in the wing to come along. They're all engaged. This week we started with a song, because you can't stop the music. We didn't start with that one. We put it on, and one of them stood up. I can't use names or anything. I know all their names, but he just stood up and started praising the Lord. Now, this is a very, you know, the context here, like, these are tough blokes, you know. And this guy was just praising and praising and praising, could not care less what anyone else thought. And it was the most powerful thing. You see, that's the power of the gospel. That is the power of the word of God. When anyone wants to take that out, if we strip back everything out of this service, we will read the word of God. That's the number one thing, that this scripture gets read. Even if you get rid of me talking about it, we will open the Word of God and we will read it together. Everything else can be stripped away. Let me pray. Father God, thank you that your Word is unstoppable. Thank you that your message, the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus being raised again on the third day, dying on the cross for our sin, who now sits at the right hand of yourself, who the risen Lord Jesus, directing his purposes so that your good news can go through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and now through us to the ends of the earth. Father God, we praise you that we can have great confidence that the victory has been won, that you are using us through the Holy Spirit in order to complete your purposes on this earth. And I ask, Lord, I ask on behalf of everyone here that you challenge our hearts to be bold and that you allow us to be able to say with Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain, and to proclaim his name till the end of our days. And I pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.